Richard Conniff is an award-winning writer and a 2007 Guggenheim Fellow, joins us from New Haven, Yale University. Hello, sir.
Hello, Stephen.
So tell me, how does this green scorecard work?
Well, okay. So the idea is to establish a list of criteria of national objectives that we all can basically agree on. Some of those are necessarily economic. You know, does it create American jobs? Does it foster industries where the United States can take an economic lead? And others are going to be environmental. That is, does it decrease our carbon footprint, or does it increase or encourage our energy independence? And the idea is to take this list of criteria, and then any project that's being proposed has to measure up against those criteria, and it will gain or lose points on each criteria and come up with a total. And a project only moves forward if it achieves a certain point total. So, you know, right now, a lot of people are putting forward projects that are basically the same old highway projects that we always hear about from state and federal transportation agencies. And they're talking about handing out the money on an old formula under which 80% of money goes to highways and 20% of it goes to mass transit. And really, that's not change we can believe in. I think it's time to shift so that we are focusing more on mass transit, which, you know, has all the benefits of saving people money and reducing our carbon footprint and so on.
Now, the highway people might challenge you on this. They might say, well, wait a second. We have a lot of deferred maintenance on our existing highway system that makes some places downright unsafe. Just ask the folks who live in Minneapolis about that one. And
yes,
this stuff ought to get fixed and fixed quickly.
Absolutely. And they're right about that. And in fact, all of the environmental groups that have been coming forward with various proposals for this economic stimulus have included repair of and maintenance of bridges and highways very prominently among the priorities.
And in fact, the numbers are such that if we did, we could spend more than $1 trillion just fixing up all those highways without expanding a single one.
Yeah, there's no shortage of ways we could spend money. I'm hoping that with a scorecard, a green scorecard, we can figure out ways to spend money that makes sense, not just shovel it out the door.
So what would you do in terms of highway funds? There's a lot of money there. We have, as you point out, a present formula about an 80-20 split. More typically, highway funds are used to expand or make grander highways. But under your scorecard system, what do you think would get the most weight?
Well, so you would take let's take a case where there are side-by-side projects. You have a choice. You could expand a highway to 8 lanes and relieve congestion that way, or you could expand the adjacent rail line, an intermodal rail line where you can move truck trailers by rail. And you put the two projects side by side and you start scoring the points, you know, which one costs more, which one gets more cars off the road, which one or more trucks off the road, which one has the better carbon footprint, all of those things. You throw them into the mix and you come up with a number. And I think what you would find is that fixing the intermodal rail line, expanding it, is going to be a lot cheaper, on the order of $1 million a mile versus $33 million for the expanded highway. It's going to have a much lower carbon footprint. It's going to get as many trucks off the road. So I'm suggesting that this green scorecard would steer the money toward that rail project.
Now, here's the interesting devil in the details of this. If something is cheaper, it means then that less money is going into a particular community for different expenses. So we have almost this curious situation where it may have some benefit to put a lot of money into something simply because it means a lot more people are going to work. How do you deal with that? Because, of course, highways in construction and reconstruction can employ a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that a point system under this green scorecard would award less points, fewer points, rather, for short-term construction jobs, more points for long-term manufacturing jobs. So you might find that a project that boosted a rail line or a project that encouraged wind power might get more points because of the manufacturing component.
How would your scorecard change the way that Congress and the president make decisions now about funding new projects with bailout money?
Well, the problem right now is that projects get funded on this bridge-to-nowhere basis of political clout. It depends on which members of Congress happen to have powerful seats on the most relevant committees. And that really doesn't benefit us. It doesn't benefit the American people. So what I'm suggesting is that this green scorecard would make the system more rational. Now, Congress is going to resist the idea of having their pet projects held to the numbers. I think of it as a kind of Capitol Hill, No Child Left Behind program. You know, holding things up to the numbers can be useful. It can tell you whether this project really makes sense or whether it's just something that's good for a particular congressman in a particular district.
Now, that's, you know, core right now to the American political system. That will be a tough nut to crack.
Yeah, and making this kind of proposal would, I think, ordinarily be naive. But right now, we've come through this huge financial bailout, and people have realized that not establishing criteria up front has been a mistake. We've had a big debate about how to do the auto industry bailout, and coming up with an intelligent plan has really seemed to a lot of people like a better idea than just shoveling the money out the door. So this green scorecard would give us that plan.
Where did you get the idea for a green scorecard?
Well, it's not original. I got this idea during the primary, listening to a presidential candidate, Tom Vilsack, who is now going to be the new Secretary of Agriculture. And he had used a point system like this when he was governor of Iowa. And basically, a project had to meet a number of criteria, including environmental criteria, and based on, you know, how it scored, it either got funded or it didn't. Now, I actually interviewed Tom Vilsack about this last week, and he thought the idea of a green scorecard would be a terrific way for the Obama administration to send the message that it's going to do things differently, that it's going to be transparent, we're going to spend a lot of money, but we're going to show on every dime that we spend how the American people are going to benefit. And Tom Vilsack is now going to be in a position to make that suggestion directly to the White House, to the Obama administration.
Oh, Mr. Conniff, it looks like you've just been hired by the White House, but only for the next 120 seconds, in which you can give the broad brush view of how you would use this $1 trillion. And the clock is ticking right now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would focus on maintenance and repair of existing infrastructure, including roads and bridges. Second, I would direct money according to a list of criteria to projects that are going to give us the most bang, both in terms of our economic need and the environmental payback down the road. So the focus now is on what's shovel ready. That's a phrase you hear all the time, and the trouble is that focusing only on projects that you can get out the door right now means that you're spending money on projects that may cost us millions of dollars down the line because they're the wrong projects. So, you know, if you have a highway that happens to be shovel-ready, but it's just going to cause increased traffic, increased global warming emissions, that doesn't make sense. I say that what you should be doing instead is holding those projects up against criteria and saying, you know, whether they measure up or not, and then spending the projects where we can get the most bang for our money as a society.
Richard Conniff's article appears in Yale Environment 360. Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you.